And we're going to go in 3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Asians Represent. I'm Daniel.
And I'm Agatha.
I'm Jade.
And I'm Amar.
Wait, what?
What?
Holding our breath.
Agatha waited. It's literally been like an hour and a half. Agatha waited an hour and a half to do that.
Yeah, I had this app on standby, and then just the moment when we started recording, I went to something else. I was checking my email. But we are now back. This is DJ Airhorn. If anyone wants more Airhorn in their lives, not sponsored by them.
Yeah, this episode of Asians Represent is not sponsored by the DJ Airhorn app on the Google Play Store. Is that right, Google Play Store?
It is on the Google Play Store.
So if you want to be cool like Agatha, you can get the DJ Airhorn app for free.
Yeah. Not sponsored.
But this episode is brought to you by Magpie Games. Magpie Games, they were very, very kind. And when they found out that we were producing this, this series, they got in touch. Mark D.S. Truman was like, "Yo, Daniel, what can we do to help you?" And I was like, "Well, we only have one copy of Masks. And we're not going to fight over it." If you could support, you would win. You're playing the bull, which is super fitting.
That's true,
right? So Magpie Games sent us a couple copies of the book. They sent us a deck of Villainy, and they sent us a deck of Influence, and they all arrived just on time for this recording.
Literally today.
But not only did we get something from Magpie Games, but you, the listener, also get something. Through March 31st, 2019, you can go to magpiegames.com and use the code AZNSREPRESENT to receive 20% off your entire order of Masks products. So again, if you want like Urban Shadows, if you want Bluebeard's Bride, like go buy those games. Go buy those games. But you'll only receive 20% off Masks products. So if you've been wondering about Masks and you're like, "Oh man, Jade's character is so cool. I want to make a character just like that."
Of course.
"But what do I need?" Well, you need the Masks, A New Generation book. And you can receive 20% off your purchase at magpiegames.com using the code AZNSREPRESENT. Let's get into it. There are obviously in your ears, listener, there are three familiar voices. My voice.
My voice.
My voice.
But there's also...
My name's Amar. I'm an aspiring role-playing game designer. I'm working on a game that's currently secret, but it is going to be amazing. Daniel knows about the idea.
Yo, it's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, watch it be an utter disappointment.
No, I don't think it's possible. I don't think you would do that.
Oh shucks, thanks.
No, Daniel officially endorses it.
Oh, I officially endorse that.
Sight unseen, I love it.
Like you can quote me in the book.
Yeah, get that in writing, folks.
It'd be like Daniel Kwan thinks it's cool.
Awesome, thanks. Other than that, I've been gaming for about 3 years. I've been GMing for about 2. My style of GMing was I want to get a lot of experience gaming. So I ran, I think, 12 games last year, plus played like another 8 or something like that. And this year already, I've kind of been, I'm in 5 games right now, and I'm going to be running another 3 over the next couple of weeks. And especially, I'm going to be running Marvel Heroic role playing. I love superhero stuff, and so I'm really, really excited to be here.
Yeah, we didn't just like pick you up off the street, dude. It's like we joked about before I messed up the audio.
Yeah, there was a separate recording, a secret recording.
A secret recording. Not as secret as the bonus episode we did with Jian Shim. That's going up on the One Shot Network Patreon very soon.
Oh snap.
Once I finish editing it.
Very exciting.
Jade and I had a very good conversation with her that I totally fudged.
But it was so good.
All right. So, yeah.
So what we're playing today is Masks, A New Generation. Like we mentioned, what we want to do right now is we want to go into the world creation part of this.
Before we start, like, Agatha, what is Masks?
Also,
what?
Agatha's DMing. Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Is it DMing? There's no dungeon.
GMing.
A friend of mine still likes those initials, and he says dramatic manager.
Our friend Anderson.
Yes.
Oh,
My gosh.
Do you want to be the DM?
Of course. I 100% would like to be the dramatic manager.
You know what we should do? We should get a shirt that says dramatic manager for Agatha.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Ooh, can we get two of those made? One in a large as well?
Yes, we should. We should just make dramatic manager shirts.
No,
dramatic manager.
By the way, I guess this is where the cat's out of the bag. If you've been following my Twitter, that's at Amar Ijaz, you may notice I sometimes post about my GM is better than your GM, and those games are all done by Anderson.
Yo, you're godlike. Your godlike it's game.
Amazing.
He built like the boat.
The boat. He built a 10-foot boat, 9-foot boat or something like that, a scale replica model of the Yamato.
Wow.
For this game.
Yeah, he's...
It's intense.
He's awesome.
Yeah, well, you can find a picture on my Twitter, and we'll...
And go follow him. Go follow Amar. Anderson doesn't have Twitter.
No, he hates social media.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Do it up. So, Mask. What is Mask? Mask is a game about young adult superheroes trying to navigate through their identity and also maybe fighting crimes, fighting villains, and then also maybe having their heart broken or falling in love, whatever. This is what that game does. It's action-packed. It's full of feels. It's full of exploration of who you are and who you can be. And also who other people think you are. And
sometimes they'll tell you. Who people think you are,
Yeah.
As they do.
So I was really thinking of this as being like Young Justice. Is that somewhere in the neighborhood?
Yes. It's like Young Justice.
Agatha is shrugging. I think that you haven't seen.
Okay, well, I was trying to shrug without it being caught on audio.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything about Young Justice, folks.
Yo, it's a really good cartoon.
My only reference.
Aqualad is my favorite character in there.
Yeah.
Friends, my only reference is Teen Titans, and that is it.
Hero Academia?
Oh, yep. Yeah, My Hero Academia. I saw the first episode. It was fun.
Oh, yeah, I've been binging it over the last 3 days.
I've been reading
in preparation.
It. It's so good.
You didn't mention the manga.
I was reading it.
Mm, I see.
Yeah, I prefer the manga because I just, I don't know, I have a hard time like watching anime.
Yeah, I feel you 100%. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mostly because like I have to watch, I don't like the dubs, so I have to watch the subs.
Yeah.
But then I have a hard time just like sitting there and just watching something.
But
I
is that not what you do when you read the manga?
No, because I could read the manga when I'm on the subway.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
Like,
you're right. It's been hard to like dedicate myself in front of the TV.
Yeah,
to
read it's everything. Tough. And there's I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about like, what's another sort of like really good reference point for this? And one that I thought of like this morning was Big Hero 6.
Okay.
A Disney movie with an Asian protagonist.
Mm. I hadn't watched that.
I haven't seen that one. Sounds really cool.
What?
Yeah.
The main character is Asian.
Yeah, no.
It's awesome.
That's awesome.
It's really good. It's really cute. And like it like punches you right in the feels.
It's great.
Like
punches you right there.
Which is what I aim to do with all of you. And I'm sure you will also punch each other in the feels. This is the expectation we have going in.
Right.
So
I'm going to punch some happiness into you.
Punch them in the feels. That's another shirt.
Punch them in the feels. What is it? Dramatic manager.
I'm going to write that down.
So good.
Same
please, here. Please do credit Anderson for that one.
Yes, Anderson gets credit.
Credits. Okay, so let's start doing this world. Let's build this world. So we kind of discussed a little bit beforehand. We want to set this in the Himalayas because that is a very good place where it's kind of like, it touches on the borders of a lot of Asian countries, so you can be from anywhere and it would make sense in the city. And we want this to be a city that doesn't exist in the real world, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want this to be a city in the clouds. Literally?
Cloud City. Maybe. Can't call it Cloud City.
Okay, copyright reasons, I guess.
Yeah, we
trademark, rather.
Okay, so how I want to go about this is we can do a microscope palette. So we're going to go around and every single person will say one thing that they want to put on this palette.
Right.
And then we can discuss from there. So let us start with
you can hear that.
Okay, great.
It's okay. We could talk about it. Agatha, just make sure you speak into the mic. Remember, you've got the audio so you can.
Am I?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Am I far away? Oh, I apologize, everyone.
Yeah,
I think
it's all good.
I think my volume is a little lower.
Yeah, I can fix that.
My lips are like, I'm trying not to touch the microscope. Gosh, Microsoft!
Microsoft!
Yeah.
Okay. I love Microsoft.
This episode, not sponsored
by Microsoft. No, not sponsored by Microsoft.
Did they send you off to that brainwashing training?
No. don't know what you're talking about.
How can Microsoft be a cult?
Alive and well, the founder's wife.
Okay, so, yes.
Because none of you guys watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Nah.
Oh, yeah, like a little bit.
Okay, never mind. They did this like great joke that vibes off of Scientology. It's really good.
Okay, so in terms of the yes, well, I can explain Microscope just very briefly. Microscope is a world-building game. If you play the full game, you will create this really intense, amazing history of a civilization, of a world. That's not what we're doing here. We just are taking one aspect of it, which is the palette part. And so we're using that just as an aid for us to create this world. So let's start with you, Amar. What's one thing that you want in this world?
Yeah, I'm definitely thinking kind of, this is kind of a semi-mythical sort of city up in the Himalayas somewhere where, you know what, I'm definitely channeling like Wakanda here.
Okay.
You know, not a lot of people, you know, maybe it's mythical. It's definitely got a lot of like future-y elements.
One thing. Hmm? One thing, Amar.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
One thing that you think can really sum up what you just said. Maybe an object, or maybe
Asia. I'm not quite sure what the word I'm looking for here is. You know, this Afrofuturism.
Okay.
Which was really what Wakanda was. So I want to do like Asian futurism.
So you want future tech?
Yeah.
Future tech. We can put that in.
Future tech.
On the yes. Okay, Daniel.
I think the vibe off of future tech. What I really want is like a green city. Not as in like green as in like trees, but like I think when people think of like major Asian metropolises, they think of like, oh, industry destroying the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But since we're doing something futuristic, I want something that's like clean.
Clean tech?
Clean tech, yeah.
Okay. Maybe we want...
Because I think if our city is in the mountains, I think they would have to be extremely efficient with their resources. And if they're extremely efficient with their resources, everything would have to be clean.
Okay, so we want sustainable infrastructure.
I could have said
those
it that way.
Those are the values the city is built upon.
Yes.
That's very cool. We can really come up with a lot of cool things, like even visually. And we can go into
like glass spires, things like that.
Okay, and Jade?
Okay, I would love to see community events or like festivals that everybody knows and like comes out to. Whoops, sorry. Darn,
every episode.
It's because you speak with your hands.
I know. Okay. I put everything down. That was that sound. But festivals where everybody comes out into the streets and everybody like knows that they're coming up. Something everybody looks forward to. I'd love to see that kind of community vibe. And like, I guess it's, they'd be like city specific kind of festivals.
Okay.
Or then.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm speaking a turn, but I really like that because then you can have like the different constituent cultures have their different festivals. So like, you know, be like New Year's stuff for the Chinese New Year and then like Holi like a little while later and like Eid and stuff. That'd be really cool.
The Lunar New Year.
Sorry. My apologies. So yeah, I think you want me to do that again?
No. Okay. Go for it. No. Agatha, what do you want?
What do I want?
So I think we have like festivals, but I think one of the things was like, I think that both of, like, Jade and Amar, both of you brought up was that we want this city to be inclusive. We don't want it to be a representative of a single Asian culture.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So what I want to see in this game is I want to see a school. I want to see a school for superheroes.
An Umbrella Academy? Sorry. I have to say that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I. I read the comics in high school.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I want, this is what I'm envisioning and what I would like.
So this is a really cosmopolitan city, and so it's got a very cosmopolitan, like, high school.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So the school can be super diverse, but I would like it to be able to accommodate for superhero kids, at least.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that would mean this future heroes are the norm.
I suppose it would.
So would it be like My Hero Academia, where, like, it's very common to have a quirk or a power? Mm-hmm. Or
it's most common.
Is it most common? So is it uncommon to not have a power? Or is it, how do we want to do this?
What do y'all think?
What do we think?
I think that I kind of want to go with the average of a lot of what I'm assuming about superhero media, which is that there are some people who have those powers and it's not the weirdest thing in the world, but also it's not every single person should have it.
Right. This isn't, you know, Dr. Xavier's school for gifted mutants or whatever.
Yeah, so there's no prejudice against people with powers?
We can talk about that.
Okay.
Let's go around again on this palette. And this time you can say either thing that you want on the yes or the no. Yeah. So no is one thing that you do not want included. You can say either or.
Mm. Amar, do you want to go?
Yeah. Sorry, I need to think about this. I really like the idea of there being sort of a mentor figure. Like one of my favorite things about the X-Men is like the teachers and like their relationships with like the younger people. So I don't know if that's okay. Too specific, but
no, that's very good. So you want there to be a mentor figure to exist. We will see how that is a mentor to.
Like the principal of the school.
Yeah, or like, mm-hmm. Wolverine, the art teacher.
Yeah, that'd be funny, actually.
Who got that one?
Nope.
It's like a 10-year-old reference at this point.
Okay, Daniel? Yes or no?
No, there's a no for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want there to be, I think, prejudices against people with powers. I want powers to be accepted because I think if we make powers accepted, we can focus on, like, at least from my perspective, from the character that mm-hmm. I'm thinking of, we could focus on the family dynamic, at least for my character, and the drama, rather than the drama stemming from the fact that they have powers.
Yeah, I don't really want to redo X-Men.
I don't want to redo X-Men, yeah.
Okay, sounds good. And Jade?
Can we say no to something not necessarily that exists in the world, but like more so what we don't want in the main storyline?
Okay.
And I'm just thinking like an antagonist that's, or I don't know. I don't know what you guys think about this.
No, go for it.
But like just heavy-handed racism. I feel like there's so many other nuanced interactions and like that we could work with and that we could play with that.
The struggle doesn't need to be born out of difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can put that on the no. Mm. So then, do we also want to say no to classism?
I think so.
So is this just a perfect city?
Well, what could make it imperfect?
Mm.
Right? And that's something we could set up because, I mean, we're describing this idyllic pan-Asian city.
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong? Are there forces outside of the city that want to come in? Are we going to like mirror some of the British colonialism that affected parts of Asia? Is one of the things, like, since powers are accepted, do we want to avoid the whole like Incredibles one thing where it's like, oh, with technology, no one's special?
Yeah.
I mean, there's also the personal drama, I guess, would come up too, right? I for me, I'm also going to be dealing with some, I think, expectations from my past and so forth.
Yeah.
So I think that will be challenges that you can have in an otherwise idyllic utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So I think some of these things we can add in terms of what we don't want in a game. We can add this later. So we're going to be using a couple of safety tools in this game. One of the safety tools that we're going to be using is the X card, which is developed by John Stavropoulos, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I apologize if I have it wrong. But this is basically a card, and I'm going to make it easily accessible on both sides of the table once we start playing, where if there's anything that comes up that you are uncomfortable with or that you just don't want in the game, you don't want to deal with, or you feel like it's perhaps like really tonally jarring, then you just put your hand on the X card, and then we will ask, what was it that you X carded? And then we don't need an explanation on why. We will just take it out, and then we'll move the story along with that. And the other thing that we're going to be using is Lines and Veils, and I cannot remember from the top of my head who developed this.
We talked about it in an episode of Asians Represent, but yeah, we'll put it in the notes at oneshotpodcast.com.
Yeah.
We'll put in links to the X card, links to Lines and Veils, all of those there.
Yeah, so Lines and Veils is, line is a hard line. We don't want this in the story at all, and so some of that no, we are just going to stick under there. And then Veil is something that can exist in the game, but we don't want, let's say, if this is a superhero show, we don't want it on the camera, right? So for example, for me, in terms of lines, hardline against sexual assault,
Yep.
And then also any kind of children in danger. I'm not interested in that. And cool. Of course, we're going to be playing teenage characters, so.
So you mean like young kids, like a rock falling on like a child? We don't want that.
Yeah. That's these are lines for me. Does anyone have anything else?
No, I think you brought up the racism thing. I think that's one of the things we're trying to counteract with this, with the production of the show in general. Just like being a cool like Asian team, but I think one of the things we should avoid is I think you're right about racism. Yeah. I was gonna say stereotypes, but I think it could confuse people when we talk about the clash between youth and tradition over stereotypes.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's a very that's something that can be tough to navigate, especially if you're a listener of the show and you're not familiar with the experiences of growing up. I think a lot of the show is really about also growing up Asian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or just in general being a person of color. So yeah. Okay, so I have racism under lines, and then we also have veils. So
sorry.
So we also have veils. Veils are things that you can have in the game, but you just don't want to be very, you don't want to see it. You don't want to talk about it.
I mean, assume we're going for like roughly PG-13 here, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So obviously no graphic depictions of violence or sort of excessive amounts of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, I assume nothing too graphic if there is some sort of a like intimate scene between two characters.
Great.
Partly because they're teenagers and I'm not a teenager anymore, mm-hmm. So it's a little weird.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, so sort of okay. Like the... like Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of sex scene, it just kind of fades to black. You know what happens, but you don't see it.
Yeah, definitely. Fade to black. So, but we are teenagers, so that is on the table. Yeah. And everyone is okay with that?
Oh, yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, so I think we have a little bit of from our palette of this world. Do we want to come up with a name for it?
Oh, one other thing. Can we avoid drugs? Like, yeah. I don't want to do the whole, like teenager falling to drugs sort of thing.
So we're avoiding drugs in the game, right?
In the game, because we're all drinking alcohol right now. yeah, absolutely.
That's not actually... in our lives, because I am not signing up for that.
No.
So I actually really like that. So we're going to actually put that in the no of the palette. So does that mean, no storyline involving like drug trade?
No, whatever. We could have that. Ooh. But I don't want to do the storyline of like having to deal with like a member of our class.
Right. Romish gets hooked to heroin.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to do that.
Okay, so no to drug addiction.
Yes. Like, we could have, like, oh, there's a new street drug, and it gives you powers, or it takes away the powers of people. Spoiler, My Hero Academia. but, like, it takes away people's powers or something like that. We could have that. I'm fine with that. But I just don't want to do that story arc where it's like, oh, we're all teenagers, and one of our friends develops a heroin problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's just good. That's a line for me.
Can we not have any predators? Like, I know you said no sexual assault, but like no.
Oh, those kind of predators.
Fear. Yes. No fear of sexual assault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to avoid the Kilgrave character.
Oh God. I want to avoid Purple that. Man.
Purple Man. Yeah. From Jessica Jones.
That I watched that whole first season. Just scary. Absolutely terrifying.
Can you explain?
So Jessica Jones in the comics has a villain. Her, like, one of her arch nemesis is named Purple Man. He also has purple children. And his power is when he tells you to do something, you are compelled to do it.
Okay.
And it's so he basically bypasses gross. Consent.
Yeah.
That's his power. And they did it like very well in Jessica Jones. It's horrific.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's just the show about her coming to terms with her experiences with him.
Mm.
But like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
No.
Yeah. So I put in there,
mind control.
I don't want that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's mind control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess villainous mind control.
Villainous.
Can you have non-villainous?
Yeah, we can just take that out of this particular series.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that it can't be portrayed well or in a non-scary way or problematic way.
Yeah, there are just other things that we can cover.
Yeah, but we can explore other themes.
Because Agatha wants the drama.
Listen, guys, I am the drama manager.
The dramatic manager, TM Anderson.
Yes, TM Anderson, TM. Yeah, okay.
Is Anderson like the unsung hero of this?
Sounds like it.
He is my GM mentor. So, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah,
he better listen to this.
Yeah.
You were really speaking highly of him.
Yeah. Listen, Anderson. Okay, so no sexual predation.
I really hope all that bit gets cut with Anderson's names in it.
Anyway. No, it's going to be in there.
Oh, great.
Yep. Yeah. Shout out. Okay, so no to the prejudice against superpowers, no racism, no drug addiction, no mind control. Lines specifically. So that was kind of like a narrative thing, and then lines are like maybe more thematic things or things that were personally like not cool with. So sexual assault, sexual predation, children in danger, and oh, I put racism twice. And then
As it should be.
And I underlined it.
Did you underline it both times as well?
I only underlined it once, but I will now do it twice.
Boom.
So now, and then veils are graphic violence and graphic sex. Great. We have, I think we have our safety tools. And again, if anything comes up in the game, even if it's something that you were cool with and later on you're like, yo, I don't know how I feel about this anymore, you can X card it.
Yeah.
That is what the safety tool is for.
And so I want to ask from, you know, a production perspective, if anything like that does come up, do we want to keep that in the final cut? Because from my perspective, I think that's interesting for the listener to hear how a real table functions. What do you think?
We can take this on a case by case basis, but I agree. That's what I really liked about doing this on air like this too.
I think if it's something that's more personal, then we can talk about it afterwards, course, to decide whether we want to keep it or not. But otherwise, we'll probably keep it on air.
And I think it's good to normalize safety tools in actual place.
Very much so. Yep. Very agree with you. Very much agree with you.
Yes. I love it when people X card me. Not because
God damn it, Agatha, not again.
Not because I want to be controversial, but I think every time it comes up and people X card, you're like, yes, engage in these safety tools.
Yeah, so that's what this is all about. We're showing people that it's okay to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to still be friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Are we?
Oh my God, are we already fighting? Okay. Are we already fighting? There's so much drama to manage.
TM Anderson. Okay.
We have to say that from now on.
That's the name of the episode.
TM Anderson.
Can Anderson just be a character?
I think so.
Yeah, why not? We'll ask him.
I'm going to add it to our list of things that we want in the game.
Yes, you want a character named Anderson.
It was an official request. And I'll put Anderson question mark.
Perfect.
Great. Okay, so what is the name of the city?
Okay, this is kind of weird. So I was totally not imagining any white people in this city. Am I the only one on that one?
I was too. You said it was like the Pan-Asian Wakanda.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to look for that.
So is Anderson a villain then?
Or do you want them to just be like the visible minority?
Oh, snap. Like, turn that one around.
Or, like...
Well, then what would we do? We would be racist towards them?
That's no, so what I mean...
I guess. That's true.
So my suggestion is that if you want... I think then most of our characters will when we create more NPCs, will not have the expectation that they are white. And then it's only exceptions where you're like, oh, no, this person is actually white. Then we'll be like, oh, okay, cool.
I like that.
So in our setting, it's like, are there white people in this world, in this city?
Yeah, what do y'all think? I think there could be.
Yeah, there could be a few.
It's
a city in Asia.
Yeah, there's usually like one or two white people.
Yeah, but do you think their presence is the result of something, like the colonial history of this place, or
we can delve into that,
like Hong Kong
in place.
Yeah, no, sorry. I wasn't sort of necessarily saying one way or the other. I was just saying in my mind, I just wasn't thinking of there being any white people. Yeah. And Anderson's a white person name.
And our friend tourists? Anderson is also white.
He's a whitey. Yeah.
Sorry?
Do we have tourists? Is this a pretty insular city then?
Is it like Wakanda in that it's hidden? Or...
Yeah, are we hidden?
Or is this like... Or could this come from like our setting? So when I was thinking about it, I was thinking that... I don't know about a name yet. But what if all of these Asian cities migrated to the Himalayas because of some sort of catastrophic event? So could be climate change, because we did talk about climate change in the Cyberpunk episode. Is it climate change, and climate change flooded most of Asia, or was it earthquakes, or was it you know the pollution, so like we had to rise above the clouds to have clean air?
So I'm having kind of a weird like brainstorm about this. I'm kind of thinking like, so the Himalayas are formed by the Indian subcontinent smashing into the rest of Eurasia. And I was kind of thinking like, maybe this was like an Atlantis type scenario, that there was like this ancient city kind of on the border there, and then the Indian subcontinent hit it and then like
pushed it up.
Yeah. That of course is kind of weird because that happened like hundreds of millions of years ago, long before human whatever evolution. But
reptile people.
Wait, so, sorry.
You missed your cue.
I know.
You didn't gasp.
Yeah, Jade looked at me, too.
Yeah, because I went, and then Amara went, and Jade went, and then you just went.
I barely caught it.
No, it's okay. Do it now. We'll cut it in later.
So should we do it again? Let's go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go.
That's good.
Great. No, I think we should actually leave the whole conversation in.
Yeah.
That's great. About putting it in and then...
So look behind the scenes.
You tricked us.
I like all of these things. I don't know if we want the rest of the world to be in shambles, because that kind of goes into like a post-apocalyptic kind of atmosphere with its...
That was mine.
That was Danco's.
Yep.
With like accompanying themes that I think could maybe make this more complicated than...
I wasn't implying that like only the Asians survived. I was like, there could be other cloud cities. Like there are lots of other mountains. I don't know. It's up to us. But I like this idea of a mythical city, or like this city is built on the ruins of a mythical city.
Ooh, yeah.
Right? So it's like
something that provides a lot of resources. Then.
Like a Shangri-La sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or Shambhala. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Shambhala would be a good name.
Do we want to call it that?
I want to look up Shambhala first and make sure we are doing something inappropriate.
Because my awareness of those mostly comes from very, very like Western media. So... I want to make sure that that's cool.
So built on the ruins of an ancient city?
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Mm.
I think that's cool. And it's like...
Ooh, then there can be ruins for us to go like explore. And everybody's like, don't go there. And then we go there.
Yes. Why don't we go there?
Oh, shit. There's pterodactyls.
Yes.
Ruins to explore.
Or the Yeti. Or all these Yetis. Oh,
oh, my gosh.
Yes, I want Yetis.
Animals.
Oh, sorry for that sound.
Oh, my character's totally going to have a pet tiger.
That's cool.
Great. Okay, so sorry, I keep making that noise. So I think we have a pretty decent idea of this world, this city. So what is the role of superheroes in this city? The older generation, maybe not your generation, because you're young, right?
How old is this city? Yeah.
Okay, so Shambhala, sorry to go back to that. So I pulled it up on the Wikipedia. It's in Hinduism and Tibetan Buddhist tradition. It's like the mythical kingdom. So do we want to include something that's sort of, it's seen as like a pure land.
Yeah.
And that's kind of going with what we're doing. It's like, you know, it's built on sustainable infrastructure. Do we want that? And if we go with Shambhala, do you think the role of superheroes would also kind of play into this religious origin? Like, not as if they're seen as gods, because I don't want to go Justice League.
Yeah. And we're not playing demigods.
And we're not playing demigods, which is, completely different game. But...
Well, that's interesting. I'm sure from that lens, superpowers will have a different kind of tinge to the culture.
Yeah.
It would have, is like you're automatically imbued with a specific feel of purpose, which is that something that you want in the game? Yes or no? I'm cool with either.
There's also another cool mythical city called Iram of the Pillars. It's in the Quran. It's basically this like city of opulence. Then they, like Allah struck them down and buried them in the sand.
Right.
Because they had too much wealth and they were, you know, folly and all that.
Ooh, I also really like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they were kind of building on the ruins of these mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's Iram of the Pillars.
Yes.
I feel like we can, instead of taking that exact name, we can either like IOP, or we can do something that is building off of, even in name, off of that that city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the idea of it being built off the foundation of it, or the mistakes of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to say that Shambhala is a bit more accessible.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Like, in terms of, if you put that as a name of the thing, people will get what that is better than Iram of the Pillars or some variation of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to call it Shambhala then? Because it is this pure land, but we can give it this sort of darker history?
Yeah, like maybe it's a mythical land that was lost to time, and then some people found it again, and then like founded a new city on the land of Shambhala and call it that.
Yeah.
I like that. So and we're going to call it Shambhala?
Yeah, yeah, let's call it Shambhala.
It's Shambhala 2.0.
New Shambhala?
New Shambhala.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yes, that gives you that future feel.
Yeah.
New Shambhala. And I think this is very interesting. This is what is taught in the classrooms about the origins of New Shambhala, but what is it actually is up for debate, right? Maybe up for y'all to find out through exploration of these forbidden ruins.
I like that. I like the fact that we can kind of be superheroes, but also be teenagers, kind of going and exploring ruins like teenagers do. And it's like Stand By Me.
Exactly, like Stand By Me. Yeah. I'm so excited to explore this.
Because we're basically like playing off of these like 80s sort of frat pack movies. Mm. We have vampires and just do the Lost Boys.
Okay, so is it okay if we take a break right now?
Yeah, let's take a break right now. And we're back. Okay, Agatha realized that you were speaking into your mic
in the wrong place.
Yeah, there is strong, powerful voice.
Yeah,
so yeah. Clear.
Is that the vibe I want to go for? The strong, powerful voice.
You're the dramatic manager.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
TM Anderson.
Yes, TM. Great. Okay, so now that we have this like foundation of an idea of what New Shambhala is like, I got some questions for y'all. And we can really flesh out this city.
I have no answers.
We took a bathroom break to come up with questions about New Shambhala.
Yeah, I really thought about it. So we talked about the clean tech in the city. I want to ask just to the group in general. Actually, no. I'm going to point this at you, Daniel.
Yeah, yeah, because that was my point.
What is the visible part of the clean tech in the city?
It's a very indie question.
I am an indie gal.
Yeah, apparently I'm a trad gamer.
We're not going to fight over this.
No, we're not going to fight over this because you would win because everybody on Twitter would be like...
Not
that's fun. Another quarter. Yeah. That's another quarter, Dan.
Take a drink.
So I think like... With the new technology, one of the things I wanted was like, I wanted solar power, right? Because if you were,
right,
if we're above the clouds in the mountains, like capturing sun would be so easy, right? But one of the things I also want is like, where do you get your water from? I want devices that capture water from the clouds.
Ooh,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I was going to say melted snow, but that actually sounds way cooler.
Okay, so like rain catchers.
Not quite rain catchers. I want like... No, I literally want like, I don't know what they
giant
would be like
ducts that go out into a cloud and suck it dry.
Exactly.
Cool.
Okay. Or they don't suck it dry. They like slowly take from it so that the cloud itself can regenerate.
Yes.
Because it's all about sustainability.
Yes. So let's talk about what that looks like, right? So you said solar power panels. Are they?
I want them to look like flower petals.
Ooh.
Right. So, and then the things that reach out into the clouds are like roots.
Ooh.
But they're both reaching into the sky. So there's the flower and there's
literally
the roots.
So like buildings are like stems, or buildings are like buds and they open up during the daytime like a lotus.
Yeah.
And then they because the they're facing all sorts of different directions and they can capture the sunlight.
So there's no air travel, I assume.
Why would you say that?
Because of the obstruction is what I'm imagining.
So no air traffic? But I suppose if you have the power to, you can probably still fly in the air.
I mean, how do people get to the city?
Oh,
climb the
right?
mountain.
There's a question for you guys.
You have to earn it.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to earn it. There's like a lottery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to get the golden ticket to go to New Shambhala.
Oh my gosh, flashback to when I can't climb Jade Mountain.
Oh God.
Sad times. So actually, I'm going to ask you that, Amar. How do people get to the city?
Yeah, I think that there's kind of two ways. One is like this long, really treacherous climb up, like three different mountains. And a part of the route is you have to get lost at a certain point. Mm. And once you're good and truly lost, that is when you find Shambhala.
Oh,
so there's no one path.
That very specific, once you're good and truly lost.
Yeah. So that's kind of the one route to get to Shambhala, especially if you've never been before. But I would imagine that this sort of technically advanced civilization that is living there has access to some sort of, I don't know, flying spaceship type things, something like that they can sort of use to go out if they need to. something like that.
Okay, so
but they're similar. They like, yeah, they're very much similar in aesthetic to the buildings. So they're like flowery, and there's like there's solar power to the top.
So not necessarily like trade ships then, or.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that these were trade ships. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, yeah, like, and again, this is everybody's idea about this, but I was kind of thinking, like, yeah, this is a city that really does keep to itself, kind of like Wakanda at the beginning of the movie.
But they allow people to come in. It just takes, you have to want to be there to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that line about, yeah, when you're well and truly lost, that means you have to give up a part of yourself, or like lose the direction of what you were seeking for specifically.
You have to be like humble, or what are you giving up?
That's the price.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the price? Is it?
It's probably different for everyone.
Eh? Yeah, I think it's different for everybody. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to think of how that flavors the city.
So you have to experience. I don't want to say lost, but you have to experience feeling lost.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, for example, if you're like, oh, I'm going to go there because I want to take advantage of, not take advantage in a negative way, but I want to take advantage of this clean tech. I want to learn about it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then as you're lost, maybe you come into this crisis about like, why do I want this so much? Is it because I want to just show off to my colleagues in academia about how much more I know, and then like to come face to face with that sort of self-identity, I think is what you would have to experience, and that is what being lost means. So maybe it's not losing anything tangential, but it's about finding yourself. It must be hard being a teenager.
I think that's where the conflict comes from. Mm-hmm. One generation is a generation of people who had to really experience something to get here. Mm-hmm. And then the teenage generation was born here. Mm-hmm. So that because you know how we were talking about conflict earlier, the source of conflict is the fact that there's these intergenerational differences in perspective on the city. Mm-hmm. That's the conflict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is so great. Mm-hmm. So the older gen had to lose something to get here,
and of course being one and a half or second gen is that hits me right there, so
yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, it's that is an analog for like
totally
second gen.
Oh, was immigrants. That not obvious? Maybe I'm just always aware of my life story, but
I wasn't even thinking about that. Okay, so
I'm a Jungian.
You're truly Anderson's friend.
Anderson TM. Let's go with another question. I'm going to go to you, Jade, for this. Mm-hmm. Where do people go for entertainment in the city? In New Shambhala.
So high-tech city. I'm almost inclined to say that kind of going in the direction of what I was saying about like festivals and things like that, occasions for people to come together. I kind of feel like, you know, that idea of like the further we immerse ourselves in technology, the more we seek to find spaces where we can be together, like physically. I don't know, something in that direction.
Okay, so
like not online.
Okay, so let's talk about the festival then. What is the most popular festival?
Okay, let's say.
If I may jump in, I'm thinking. I think it's really cool if there's like a monthly, I don't know, like not a city council meeting, but like a whole city kind of a get together. And you talk about business that's pertinent to the welfare of the entire city, and then after or before that, you also have like a party and stuff. And then there's also all these cultural festivals that happen throughout. But that's like a regular monthly
to make sure that everybody's kind of working together.
Yeah, right?
Maybe seasonally.
Sure. Yeah. Whichever. Yeah.
Sweet.
So seasonal progress meeting?
Because then maybe that could be like thematic.
Progress too. Meeting implies that there's an end goal, does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do...
Maintenance meetings.
Seasonal. It sounds like we're living in a fallout shelter or something.
Seasonal status celebration.
We'd have a quarterly status meeting with all of the shareholders.
Why don't we...
It's the solstices. They're just actually that's solstice cool. festivals.
Oh, of course, it's solstice festivals. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also drawing from like I'm thinking about the cultures that we're trying to represent here, mm-hmm. And I'm kind of thinking, mm-hmm. yeah, there's like all sorts of you know, there's solstice festivals. There's
mm-hmm. if we just like a wellness gathering or something, wellness for the city. Mm-hmm. Like we tend to the city. What mm-hmm. if we like viewed the city as like one giant plant, like a garden?
Ooh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right, if we're going for the flower petals and the roots and mm-hmm. the water and survival and being sustainable, it's almost like it's like a giant garden.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right, so it's like a tending festival. We're mm-hmm. tending to ourselves, we're tending to the well-being of the community, mm-hmm. and we're tending to the well-being of the city, New Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the tending celebration, or yeah. did we say festival or celebration?
It's up to you, Jade.
Festival?
Okay.
Tending festival it is.
I like this. It's like a self-care, whatever, hoedown.
Yeah.
This place self-care is so nice.
Yeah. Can I live there?
Yeah, I know. So we're going off of a flower metaphor, basically.
Yeah. So again, but the schedule that is based on the solstices, which I really like. All right. Now, let's go to you, Amar. Who runs the city? Is it the mundanes or the superpowers, or is it a mix of both?
Yeah, if we're going to continue to be sort of utopian about this, then yeah, it's a council made up of sort of representatives from every kind of group. So that includes the mundanes, that includes people from the different sort of constituent cultures, and then also the superpowered factions as well.
Okay, so it's a council?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's basically a Senate.
I am the Senate now.
Where's that from?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the prequels, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So is it called the Senate?
Oh, I mean, I feel like there could be a better word for that. That's like more in-universe.
What do we call it? Like the seeds or...
Ooh, I like that. Gardeners.
Very Final Fantasy VIII.
Is it? I've never played it.
Yeah.
I would like it to be. Sorry, which one?
Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, okay, I haven't played that either. I don't know, gardeners, but it's a rotating position. You don't get to be gardener for life or senior gardener for life.
Gardeners for life. What if it was like the caretakers or?
Yeah, caretakers.
Caretakers or gardeners?
I don't know. What do you guys think? We all just kind of looked at each other.
I like the idea of. Of gardeners, because I like a very strong theme, and I feel like caretakers, it's been used before, and sometimes with like kind of ominous undertones. So mm-hmm. I like the word gardeners. It's just like we're hitting that strong floral gardening theme,
mm-hmm.
and I like that it's a rotating position, and it's a mix of supers and mundanes.
Or do you think it's like a forced mix, or do you think it's just not based on one's abilities, but more of one's views of the city?
It seems like there. What Amar was saying was that there's proportional representation going on.
Do you want that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Cool. Is it's kind of a representative system. So I was thinking maybe each community sort of nominates their own representative, their own gardener to the council. The Council of Gardeners, or again, you can have a different name.
Do we want to call them mundanes? Because we've been using that so far. Is that what we want to call them, or do we want to come up with something different?
What do we think?
Or what would I'd we call, like to, but yeah.
Yeah, or like what would we call people with powers?
Mm. What's the game term for them?
Oh, I don't know. Supers?
Yeah, I think that sounds...
Yeah, it's supers and non-supers.
Yeah, supers and non-supers. Maybe.
Oh.
We can double-check, but...
I don't know. Like, gifted? No, I don't want to do that. Marked?
Is it positive?
Chosen?
Yeah, right.
Chosen? If we're going to... Are we going to go for this sort of religious feel? Huh. That's a tough question, because we want to make sure we have a consistent language.
Yeah, and like also thematically, that would really impact
right.
Like yeah, and I think calling self-identity. Calling somebody mundane makes them feel lesser.
Right, mm-hmm. right, for sure.
Even though they have proportional representation, we want to make sure that everybody contributes. Because if it's this idyllic society, people without powers and people with powers can live in tranquility mm-hmm. as equals. What do the people without powers bring to the table when the people with powers are, you know, super?
I'm thinking about...
So what makes them equal?
I really like the idea of like shouldering a responsibility, but I'm not sure what exact adjective can come out of that or a noun about like the people who have powers, right?
So you think that people with powers bear more responsibility?
Yeah, they have a specific responsibility that would... Like you're not just randomly given this power.
Right? From each according to their ability, to each according to their deed.
Yes.
Right.
But maybe not in so many words.
No, not in so many words.
Well,
I will let, I'm trying to remember who actually said that. I think it was Marx. Anyway.
Well, I don't know because we want to keep them equal, right?
Yeah. I guess that's the question. Like,
but
is we don't want to use a loaded term. Like, super is already a loaded term.
It's already loaded.
Which is why I like the idea of it, like something that is like you're the tasked. Or like,
or is it like
the task?
The task. That's cool.
That idea
sounds like
of
a playbook.
Like,
yeah.
That idea of like tulips versus orchids. Do you know what I'm talking about, Daniel?
I feel like this is
from a book that we've both read. But anyway,
so you want these to be like kind of like flowers?
Well, I'm more so speaking to
those with powers are people who have bloomed.
Actually, the idea of like people as like tulips versus orchids or whatever is just that like they're
just different.
They're just different. Yeah. They need different conditions.
They're all flowers.
Mm-hmm. They just need different conditions to bloom.
That's what I'm saying about blooming. Yeah.
But I think the thing is we still need complications. We can't have this actually be an idyllic city.
Yeah.
So
I'll have nothing to play off.
Well,
I mean, one source of conflict is obviously the intergenerational conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And then we haven't talked about the relationship between New Shambhala and the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but all of that aside.
So trees, maybe? Like the people with powers are called trees and the other ones are called, I don't know, something else.
Roots?
Because yeah.
Because they're the foundation.
They keep everybody grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're just as important. But the trees, you know, whatever, they provide the shade.
The trees reach up to the mm-hmm. light and the roots suck up the moisture and keep everybody alive.
Yeah.
Okay, supers are trees.
Yeah, for now we could just supers are trees.
And non-supers are roots.
Yeah.
This is just so I can put it in my notes. We're obviously not going to refer to them that way. Roots. Great. Okay, so we have quite a few things. We have who rules the city.
Or branches or leaves.
Now let's
talk branches and leaves. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Branches and leaves.
Yeah, because if we're going on extreme ends of the plant, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The city is like the tree, the roots are the people without powers, and the leaves are the people with powers. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, the roots is cool, but they are kind of underground and hidden. So that I don't like that kind of implication of it. But
yeah, but if we frame it around them keeping the entire system alive,
because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the roots are incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They contribute to the whole thing, and the tree is the city because they all keep the city alive.
Yeah.
Okay. And trees and roots sounds good to me too. Yeah.
Or
leaves and roots.
Leaves and roots. Yeah, I like
or leaves
that.
Leaves and roots. Okay, perfect.
Because there's also something about like a transient quality of leaves that I think is very interesting. Mm-hmm. It adds a little bit of complication mm-hmm. to this.
Yeah.
That I find more evocative than just trees.
So leaves and roots. Okay.
Leaves and roots. And Jade? You look like you have a thought.
No, just thinking about that. Just imagining that.
Well, I think it's like a lot of people speak with these metaphors.
Mm-hmm. And now let's get to the really fun one.
Sorry, now I'm just totally channeling Firefly, right? I'm a leaf on the wind.
Sees, yeah.
Oh.
I have never watched Firefly.
Oh, Lord.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
You can't leave yet.
Oh. They locked the door. Somebody help me. If you can hear this.
Oh.
I'm going to edit that out. No.
Oh, no. Okay, so let's get to the fun part. What's the part of the city that is off limits to the public?
It's got
to
be like a core, like the Heartwood.
Hmm. Do you think the ruins would be off limits?
I'm so into the idea of the ruins being off limits.
Because that's
Why are they off limits?
I'm thinking that there's like artifacts of great power in them. And so like maybe sort of, you know, scientists or, you know, sort of wise people are working to like, they're slowly going in, they're checking out these artifacts, but for anybody else to go in and like start messing around with them could bring, you know, down just complete and utter destruction on everybody.
So what gives them the right to go in? Or is that what we, how we feel? We're like, well, what gives them the right?
Yeah, I think that's good. Is there a name, even like a nickname?
The Old City.
So that's, I think that's the official name. Is there a name that y'all call it by?
Oh, that's what I would say.
The Old City.
Old Bala?
Old Bala.
Okay.
I'm just like, oh, what if we call ourselves Ballers? I was like, let's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bad joke.
Yeah, I laughed.
Yeah.
Would this be deep inside the mountain then?
Like the core, the heart of the mountain?
Or would it be like...
I like how you're like, we need to talk about the heart of something.
It's like Yu-Gi-Oh, the heart of the cards!
Oh my god.
Hearts are important, you know.
Mm, yeah, I
guess. I'm no doctor, but I've been told.
Nah, you don't need your heart.
And Daniel is a doctor. He's not.
No, I'm not a doctor. Don't.
Much to the disappointment.
My parents wanted me to be a doctor, but I didn't want to.
Oh, snap.
Bam.
We might revisit that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, you might finish your PhD someday.
We'll
kind of a doctor.
Kind of a doctor. But I can't be like, is there a doctor on this plane? Yes, I am a doctor of archaeology. I can help you. No.
Somebody's having a heart attack. Okay, well, give me like 150 years and then I can examine the body.
I can tell their life story.
So yeah, where do we want the Old City to be? Where is it located in relation to New?
Do you think it's Chihuahua? On like another peak that everyone can see but not go to?
I also like the idea of maybe there being something in the heart of this city, like right in the center of this city. It doesn't have to be the main ruins or something like that.
Or like a portal.
Yeah, or something like that.
Okay, so there are two places that are off limits. One is something in the heart of the city.
Damn it, Daniel, now you got me obsessed about this heart idea.
I know, right?
Hearts are cool.
Yeah, I mean...
Is this below the city or in the center?
What do you think?
Mm. Yeah, or is it in like a central building?
I kind of would rather not... The obstacle not be like... the people running the city sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't want there to be some sort of bureaucracy that's stopping us.
Like physically or whatever. Yeah. Like I like the idea of like crawling into a cave or something. Or just like descending underground somehow or something like that.
So you want it to be underground?
Okay. Instead of like this passage, like through this like sterile doorway.
Sure. I mean, the thing is, I have to tell y'all, there is going to be conflict in this game. There is going to be bureaucracy. So,
I mean, you want that.
The thing is, like, a lot of these things are perhaps what is on the surface. And some of these will be true, but not all of them will be the absolute reality. There will be nuances to them that may be perhaps more unpleasant than one would like. But ideally, we would still like it to be a positive sort of city, right? We don't really want to dive into all these underbellies and so on. But I like this. Okay, so it's underground. The heart of the city is underground. And then there is Old City, which is on another peak. Do we want to go with that or do we want something else?
I don't know. Do we want it to be visible to everyone? Like, do we want people to be able do we want people to be able to see it? Like, it's there. Like, the teenagers are like, every morning, you know, you sit on, like, I don't know if you could fly or whatever. You're sitting on top of a building. You just look at the Old City knowing you can't go there.
But I wonder if it would be off limits if that were the case.
Because it's just so far away.
Yeah,
it's literally just so far away.
Yeah.
I'm kind of digging the idea you brought up earlier about this sort of this, like, closed flower thing. Like, maybe this new Shambhala is actually built at the top of another much larger flower. Like, what looks like a mountain is actually just the old kind of Shambhala city.
The Old City.
So that's like, you have to go underground. You have to go try to get into the Old City because it's really hard to do that or something.
It could be like the city is, like, made out of different, like, buds that have bloomed and just one hasn't. Or, like, one's permanently closed. It's like a...
Yeah, no, I like that. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
I don't think it does.
Maybe doesn't.
Yeah, I think that could be the...
Because I'm imagining, like the city is on, like, a
Daniel
peak.
Drew a picture.
And then, and then, like, somewhere in this region is another one. It's like, I don't know, do we want it on another peak? Like, you can, like, it's visible?
I think what we've been talking about is we want it at a closer proximity, and I think there's the idea that one city is literally built on another, built on the ruins of another. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's like
so there's a term in archaeology called a tell. So it's like when these mounds are formed mm-hmm. from successive human occupation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you dig through mm-hmm. them, you find the foundations of other things.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things it could be like we are expanding the city, and there could be conflict over, well, we can't dig too deep because we're gonna hit the old city.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
right? So there could be the older generation could be against the expansion of the city, and they can, you know, start to be more selective about who can come into the city. But the new generation is like, well, no, everybody should be able to come in and, you know, prosper in New Shambhala. But then there's something deeper there. There's this older generation who's really into tradition and has this sort of wizened understanding of why this city has reached its limit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this city is so perfect that it's now reaching this breaking point.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This breaking point that's unknown mm-hmm. to the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this push for expanding New Shambhala, they can unearth parts of old Shambhala that maybe left it in ruins in the first place.
Ooh.
And there's your soundbite.
That's really cool. I like that.
Okay, so why has the city reached its limit? It's perfect. Can't get bigger.
Yeah, have they kept that from the newer generations?
Yeah, I think it's like a well-kept secret. It's like you have this perfect, you have this like perfect city, right? This idyllic city, right? But you certainly don't want to see it fail.
Mm.
It's almost like Superman's Fortress of Solitude. That's what I'm drawing because I rewatched the Lego Batman movie.
Mm. I still haven't seen that one.
Super good.
Weirdly, I love Batman.
It's super good.
Batman's my superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the idea. So the city is somehow headed for, it's reaching a breaking point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or an inflection point. Massive change.
Because we should, I don't know if we want to vibe off the idea of the cyclical nature of life and being, right? Like Shambhala in religion is supposed to be this pure land. But if Shambhala collapsed, what did that?
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, people went and created a new city here over old Shambhala, are we doomed to do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And is the solution to be an understanding between the younger and older generations?
Okay.
And is that the meta plot?
Okay. Conflict.
Like the campaign frame?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the
higher level than a campaign? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like we have all the, there are these lessons that kind of culminate in this like, oh, something's going on. And like perhaps like the new generation of heroes teams up with the old generation of heroes to kind of come together and solve mm-hmm. this problem.
Maybe.
The trees and the roots come together to make sure that the tree stays alive. The leaves and the roots come together to make sure that the tree stays alive. I don't know.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind as a potential theme that we can hit.
Yeah, it's like it's completely up to you.
Yeah, whether we actually hit it or not, depending on how this game ends up actually progressing narratively, we'll see. But this is a good thing to keep in mind. Okay, I think we have a pretty solid idea of this world. Oh, I suppose. Actually, I have a last question. So the question is, what does the outside world think about New Shambhala? Are they aware of it?
I guess I was thinking of this as being like a semi-mythical sort of city for most mm-hmm. of the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
There's a select few who found out about it. maybe there's like people who, I don't mean to take up the entire the airspace here or whatever.
No, it's all good.
But I was kind of thinking like there's like a select few people who kind of like have shared that knowledge down the generation. So I was kind of thinking that maybe my character's background would be like this is something that my family has known about for generations, and then sort of I heard about it and I was sent there to kind of, you know, go to that school and learn from New Shambhala and stuff. Mm. But I'm kind of thinking, yeah, like the rest of the world doesn't really know about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think, Jade?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I like that.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. That's cool.
Okay, so it's the outside world doesn't really know about New Shambhala, or just Shambhala in general. It is a mythical place that can only be sought out.
Yeah, well, only be sought out, I think.
Maybe they don't know that, or they, yeah.
Yeah, there's lore about it. There's a secret. Mm. There's a secret there.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I guess like Atlantis or, you know, other sort of mythical cities.
Okay. Yeah, El Dorado.
Yeah.
But what is valuable to these people?
Mm.
Who knows?
Yeah, I like that a lot. Okay, so we have an idea of how how New Shambhala relates to the outside world. Good. So I think then in this, I think we've really fleshed out the city in this setting. So let's move on to, unless there's anything, last thing that people want to add. Is there anything else?
No, I think the rest of it will come from gameplay, right? Mm-hmm.
Perfect. So let's now move on to character creation. And we've all selected our playbooks. So I don't know if y'all had a chance to look at the moves and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you've like gotten a chance to look at even what powers you wanted, what you looked like in your names.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing on that? Do we have all of them or?
I don't have my name, but I've got other details fleshed out.
Okay.
Or rather my hero name.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Let's hear it. Let's hear your character too.
So I was thinking about the beacon. And I was thinking that she's from, I guess, like a second or third generation non-super, or like roots, I guess,
mm-hmm.
family.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing they want is for my character to be a super, or to, or a leaf, rather, and to be, or contribute to the society in that way.
Mm.
I guess something, sorry, back to the world building, something that I'm wondering is the economy. What's the economy like? Like, what are jobs like there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Mm. That's a good point.
That is a good
point. And that further vibes into the relationship with the outside world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Technology.
Mm-hmm. So uh-huh. Is this like the communist ideal? Is it like?
I don't think so. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I feel, I don't know. How does, I mean, in Black Panther, where does Wakanda's money come from?
I think, well, vibranium is set up as such like a magic material. I think you can just eat it.
Yeah, that's true.
Kidding.
No.
Yeah, so is there something that that New Shambhala specifically exports, even though it's a mythical city?
Do you think the West thinks it's mythical and the rest of Asia? Like, what I want to avoid is, like you know how we talked about earlier about, like, Wakanda. In the Black Panther movie, it's always like, oh, it seems like Wakanda's just ignoring. I don't want to say ignoring, but they don't appear to be helping the rest of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
what is New Shambhala's relationship with the rest of Asia? And what does the rest of Asia look like?
Mm.
Right? Is catastrophe, or is it similarly technologically advanced? And if so, what makes New Shambhala different?
What if New Shambhala is kind of like the nexus of innovation? So basically, there's just, it's like on the apex of like technology and, again, innovation. So a lot of what Eastern countries or just Asian countries, what they do is they, like, research comes out of New Shambhala, and then people can take inspiration from that, where they send people there specifically for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think about that?
Mm.
Yeah, that seems really cool.
That seems cool. I like that.
Yeah, so it's like, in a way, it's also sustained because of this flow of people, and then like with that, the trade, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. And it generates a lot of energy from the solar panels and the. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they share with the rest of the world.
Mm.
Yeah, and people come to New Shambhala oftentimes for a purpose.
Mm.
Yeah, I think like we said, it's difficult to get to New Shambhala, but anybody who comes there is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those who might want to make New Shambhala easier to get to. thus bypassing what everybody believes New Shambhala is all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it exports in research breakthroughs. How do we feel about that?
That seems pretty high concept. How about we also export gold?
I don't
I'm totally cool with that.
I'm kidding. I just
like new tech, I think is there's yeah, gotta, tech yeah. seems cool. Yeah. I don't want it to be like some crazy mineral.
Yeah. So research breakthrough and new technologies.
Yeah. Or there's something about the water up there that is it New Shambhala is the only place where there are supers because of something up there?
Let's not make New Shambhala the only place with superheroes. Okay, cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that it's more interesting if that it's not everything is just contained in this ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds mm-hmm. good.
Okay, so Amara, tell me about your character.
My character's real name is Muhammad Jahangir Jalaluddin Zanjani. He's a descendant of some royal families in South Asia, so he is South Asian. But his hero name is, he transforms into a very tiger-themed character who goes by Tipu Sultan, after the South Asian ruler of the Kingdom of Mysore in the 1700s, who was reputed to have killed a tiger with just a dagger, and afterwards sort of made everything tiger-themed. Like his murals were tiger-themed, his a palace was tiger themed. He got really big into the tiger thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
really into like tigers.
Do you guys know I killed a tiger once? Yeah, you don't know? Just check out the wall. There's a mural of me killing this tiger. Anyway, guy was really into his own stuff, but that's really cool. And so I was thinking, my character got changed by being attacked by a tiger. Perhaps the ghost of the same tiger that got the original Tipu Sultan.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I got out of that actually not by killing the tiger this time, but by befriending him. And so the tiger gave me magical powers. So I am playing the bull. So I have supernatural strength, superhumanly tough, and I'm uniquely skilled at fighting. And I also have this like sidekick, like ghost tiger.
Ghost tiger.
Yeah. Cool.
Or a Bengal tiger, I guess. Just a white tiger or something.
Okay. What's the tiger's name?
Oh, my God. That's a really good one.
Okay. We'll put a pin on that and come back to it later.
It's but called if, Tiger.
If the tiger's your friend, you should definitely know their name. Okay. So cool. And you are not born in New Shambhala, right?
No. Yeah. I was thinking that my character is descendant of a royal family in South Asia. I was born there. And the legend of Shambhala has been sort of handed down from generation to generation to generation. And I think when it became clear that I have like powers, they were like, okay, you're going to like the high school in New Shambhala now. Mm-hmm. And go there and like learn stuff or something.
Okay. So who outside of the team takes care of you? That is one of your questions, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm thinking, I think I'm like boarding with somebody in the city, and I'm open to any thoughts. Anybody want to throw out kind of a character?
Is it an adult or is it?
An adult, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm living with like an adult. I don't know if it's like maybe a distant relative or something that I'm kind of living with.
Mm. Maybe an aunt?
Maybe an uncle.
An uncle. Yeah.
He already took that one. Yeah. I think like an aunt would be really cool. Yeah.
Okay. Aunt. Yeah. And we will put a pin on this as well and we'll get a name for her next time. Cool. And you're living with her. She's taking care of you.
Yeah.
Like, are you tight or?
Yeah. I think that we're like, yeah, we're close. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, she's a nice contrast from like my parents' parents who would just have a lot of expectations, where she's like a little bit more like cool and just wants to listen to me and stuff.
Yeah. Maybe she's one of the researchers at New Shambhala.
Mm. Ooh,
yeah. Mm, like cool.
So she's just kinda like living the good life and then showing you new things. Cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to you, Daniel.
Okay. So my character is the Janus. My hero name is Neuron. My character's real name is Tommy Moon. Chinese character. He wears sort of like upscale clothing, so like fancy, because he comes from a rich family.
Okay.
A rich family that owns a company called Crescent. Crescent is like, so think like Edna Mode from The Incredibles meets Uniqlo. And they make, yeah, they make like costumes for heroes for leaves.
Yeah, like super practical, super but very practical, stylish,
like minimalistic.
Oh my gosh!
Right,
that Uniqlo vibe.
Get that Uniqlo vibe. So they're very wealthy, and Tommy's parents want him to be a part of the family business. Mm-hmm. So every opportunity not spent in school is spent learning about the family business. Mm-hmm. So like working on the floor, designing costumes, making, costumes for other teenage heroes.
Oh,
right.
That's good.
And that that eats away at Tommy, who has powers, but he keeps them a secret from his family.
Right. Cause you a Janus.
Cause I'm a Janus. Right. So his power is that he can, for 10 minutes, learn a physical skill. So like Amari, you're like, oh, I know Kung Fu. Like I could do that, but I only know Kung Fu for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I could watch somebody fly and I can do that for 10 minutes.
Okay.
And that's my hard limit.
Okay.
So my costume is really I cover my entire face. Nobody can tell who I am. But I feel like my costume, without drawing attention to Crescent, is very makeshift, almost like a bandana covers my face.
Okay, makeshift costume. Cool.
Yeah.
And so within your family, everyone is a root except for one person, right?
Yes, my uncle. He has a power that he's very proud of. Mm-hmm. This is something that I've been thinking about.
Nice.
He has the power to eat anything. He could devour anything without harm, and it tastes pleasant to him. He's one of the many leaves in New Shambhala that are tasked with making sure that the city is clean and that there's no waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's from their energy, from construction, anything like that.
Yeah.
What's his teeth like?
I want to say his teeth are like pearls. They look like they're like pearlescent teeth.
Ooh,
like
nice.
They're beautiful. Like I don't want it to be like a garbage power. He's not a.
Is he just a beautiful man?
He's a beautiful man. Maybe he's just a beautiful man. Maybe he's I want him to look ripped. Maybe he looks like Jay Chou.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like the idea of him being totally ripped, but he eats garbage all the time.
Yeah, he's like Jay Chou. He's got a strong jawline. No, what if he had a weak jawline?
Jay Chou.
I'm not over this. Okay, great.
So he looks like Jay Chou.
So he also raps.
So he also raps, and he likes magic. I don't know if you follow Jay Chou on Instagram.
I do not.
He has this thing with Jeremy Lin. It doesn't matter. They're like bros.
Oh, that's cute.
It's
they're
cute.
They're both Taiwanese. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, so that's seen as a source of shame for the family, because they're like, ah, they look down on him.
Yeah.
Look down on my uncle, but I look up to him.
He's your mentor.
Yeah, he's my mentor. But my uncle is very proud of himself.
Yeah.
He doesn't see himself as lesser than anybody. He sees himself as a member of society.
Yeah.
So he kind of ignores what the family says.
Yeah, that's why he's mentoring you.
Yeah.
And who else in your family knows about your superpower?
My grandfather.
Sorry, your leaf status?
My leaf status. I got Naruto vibes. It's my grandfather, or I want to extend this to my grandparents.
Grandparents, okay.
Yeah, my grandfather and my grandmother both know of my abilities because they found my costume.
Mm-hmm.
They found my costume, and it wasn't the retail standard.
Oh, jeez.
They found my costume, and they realized that I have powers, and that I'm moonlighting as a hero,
mm-hmm.
as a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to bring this to the attention of the board because they think that it would bring great shame and distraction
right.
to the operations of Crescent.
Right. Mm. Like you're supposed to just be roots who are super freaking good at making these costumes.
Yeah. Or maybe they want me to use your powers to benefit the company. But I really want to use my powers to help people directly.
Okay, this will be an interesting conversation. Okay, let's move to you, Jade.
So I'm playing the Beacon. My character's name is Naomi Park, mm-hmm. But her hero name is Shift. But her parents don't know that because her parents are roots and are very strongly against, her being a leaf.
Right, and you were born in New Shambhala, right?
Mm-hmm. So I was born in New Shambhala, and I guess they're kind of values are like keeping their heads down and working hard sort of thing. And they were pushing that for me as well, not wanting to gain any attention. But something that I've always wanted to be was a leaf, I guess, and to contribute to society in that way. So in terms of my abilities, it's very, very subtle. I can be transparent at times.
Okay.
So there's like an ethereal quality to me, mm-hmm. or there can be. And I feel like I have a loose control over that.
Cool. Mm. And when was the first, like, when did you discover your powers?
Yeah, I think maybe just like when I was younger.
Was there a specific incident that made you realize that you were able to just disappear from people's sight?
Yeah, I think like I might have.
Can I throw something in? Sorry, I don't mean to stop
no,
in
the moment or anything.
But I just have this idea of like, you know, when you're young and you do something embarrassing and all you want to do is disappear.
Mm.
Like maybe that actually happened.
Mm.
I don't know.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, that's cool. I was actually kind of thinking like there was just a moment where someone thought I was a ghost. And reacted to me in that way.
Oh,
that's cool.
Like a classmate of yours?
Yeah. And like that's when I realized it.
Okay. And when was the first time you donned your costume?
Yeah. So I think from then I would like try to hone it, being like, this is it. This is the superpower I have. This is the quality that I really need to lean into. And I guess like I worked with I guess Crescent. Let's talk about Crescent.
So was this later? Because you found out that you had this power pretty young, right? But maybe you donned your costume a little later, maybe like in your early teens?
I want to say something like there must have been some experimentation with like fabric that that responds to the transparency of the thing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So are you like
Violet from The Incredibles?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched The Incredibles. I'm sorry.
What?
It's so good.
That's how you handle invisibility, I assume.
This is that's cool. Mm. Okay, so you worked with Crescent maybe in your early teens?
Well, kind of an idea that I had was that my parents are engineers, and so
very
maybe
cool.
Are they Crescent engineers?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes, they are.
So are we friends then?
Yes. Yeah.
Like maybe
childhood friends.
Maybe like I helped you with your costume and you helped me with mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, amazing.
Is it just
and
the
kept
one
my secret? Please.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
Wait, sorry. What did you say?
Oh, is it just the one employer in this damn city?
Well, my idea is like maybe Crescent is like one of the founding families.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like there could be a dark secret.
Ooh, yeah. And I mean, you know what? Making like taking off from The Incredibles, it is really like there's a lot of technological innovation that goes into like making a suit that works for
totally.
Different people's powers.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be like a big export that Shambhala has.
Oh, that's a very...
To a very specific
like
population.
That's a technological innovation that they export is like fabrics that like don't burn up if you've got burning power.
Yeah, and other people that are non-supers could even use that.
Yeah,
non-leaves.
Yeah.
Non-leaves, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So leaf...
Technical fabric.
Leaf specific... Oops.
But, you know, like, you make a really lightweight suit that doesn't burn up if you're going to give it to the Human Torch. Well, firefighters can wear that.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really good. I like that focus a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it was your parents who created your suit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So even though they...
Or, like, knowledge that I like, seeped from them. Also, I might have, like, patchworked it together. And I was imagining it maybe drapey, like a ghost.
Oh, cool. Mm. So you made it yourself without your parents' knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, parents don't know.
Oh, maybe I helped you
because
I have the key card.
Right. Yeah.
Parents don't know about costume. Do they know about your superhero identity?
No, definitely not, I'd say.
Wow, okay.
Sorry, what's your character's pronouns?
She, her.
Okay.
Sure. Okay. So I was thinking that let's talk about how we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just I'm I say that like the audience knows. So Naomi and Tommy have like history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then how do you Tommy, how do you know
Jahangir?
I feel like I get like I immediately think of like Deku from My Hero Academia, how he like idolizes heroes and writes up all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'm like, well, you're like this like do you think Jahangir is like this prominent hero?
Yeah, Tipu Sultan.
Tipu Sultan's like well known.
I mean, he's still a teenager, right? So,
but you've got this like not dope power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lineage. So, like, I'm sure like the first day I showed up to school or whatever, everybody was talking about.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. maybe this, I look up to you.
Okay.
Just,
cool.
Just your like excessive amount of tiger accessories.
Like you.
You're making a tiger costume for him.
I think it's that like Tipu Sultan is really confident in who they are, and I struggle with that.
Mm. Or that's your idea.
Right? Yeah, that's your idea. Yeah.
Mm.
And that's what I think. So I'm like, man, they really got their life together.
Okay, so do you talk to Jahangir?
I think I want to be friends with Jahangir. I don't know.
Okay, how do you feel about this person that kind of like sometimes follows you around and then like
I'm a nerd.
Question mark?
No, I mean I like that. Actually, I think like that. Okay, maybe because of my like whatever royal blood upbringing, it's like, yeah, of course people should be following me around taking notes. I'm royalty, I guess. But I think I really like that confidence thing, and I don't know if this is getting too deep into this, but I think that like I may have come off as confident and sort of royal and regal because I was trained to always, you know, stand up straight and like walk around like that. But really what I end up doing is I'm actually really uncomfortable and I retreat to royal protocol or royal, I don't know if that's too much, but...
Okay, so basically...
I come off confident. But.
Okay, you come off confident and you enjoy the fact that there is someone who's kind of like affirming what you want to be.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, you're so cool. And you're like, yes, I did want to project being cool and confident.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a very interesting relationship.
Especially coming into like a new school and city and not knowing anybody, and it's like
it's literally the My Hero Academia.
And Jahangir, how do you know Naomi?
I think I have met her in school. I feel like you and I could be part of some sort of club.
I like that.
Like some sort of extracurricular. I mean, I how big are the classes here? It's a utopia, so small classes.
So small classes, self-directed learning. Everybody gets an iPad.
Exactly.
What kind of classes or extracurriculars?
Yeah.
Is there a club?
Yeah, I feel like there's a club.
Yeah, what is this club?
Clubhouse.
The newspaper club.
The U-book. As we go on.
No, is it arts based or is it STEM based, or is it something even more than that? Is it the archaeology club or folklore club,
history club,
the history club,
the yearbook? I kind of
or
like
the festivals.
Social.
What about the festival planning committee, the party like planning that. Committee?
So this party planning committee, aka the student council.
Party people.
We're part of the student council.
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You want to be student council?
Yeah, I think we're the student council. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great.
Or yeah.
Student council.
However that manifests.
Naomi, are you the student council president?
I am.
Great.
Awesome.
Student council president.
I love that.
Okay.
Yes, I get to redo high school, but this time I'm one of the cool kids.
Yeah, you
I'm
are.
I'm still the nerd.
And this time it was by your own volition.
I know.
You chose to be a nerd.
No way.
Yeah, okay. So... we're gonna do the team question next time. I like that as like the beginning of like a session. But what I do want to, I kind of want to do your love and your rival,
right?
Sure.
For you, I keep forgetting your character's name. Sorry.
Jahangir.
Jahangir.
Yeah,
you.
We should get little note cards.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll make note cards next
for next time. Okay. So have you decided?
Your love, this is like got like, it's like a crush, right?
It could be a crush. It could, yeah, let's make a crush. Why not? High school. I am
sorry,
here.
What is this thing?
It's only for the Bulls playbook.
I see.
Yes, just for the Bulls.
Yeah, so I have blank is your love. You've opened up to them about the worst parts of your past. Does it have to be a PC?
Yes.
Okay.
So one of the people in prison is your rival, and one of them is your love.
I don't think I'm. Oh, maybe we could be rivals because of our. I don't know. Do you see me as a rival, and I don't see you as a rival?
It could be Bakugo.
Or yeah, you that's two. What I'm saying. Bakugo. Yeah. Bakugo.
Well, I think you. It'd be really interesting if Jungir and Naomi are rivals.
So no, I actually that is what I was thinking as well. Yeah. And I was thinking my character's sexual orientation doesn't have to be, you know, straight or whatever either.
Yeah.
So
we're rivals. Okay.
So yeah, I think that's right. I think Naomi is the rival.
Oh, yep.
Maybe I want to be student council president.
Okay. read out the description for the rival.
So Naomi is my rival. She has tried to control me at a crucial moment.
Oh, snap. Naomi, what you doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe you like embarrassed him using your powers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or yeah, did it have to do with student council? Is that what happened?
Maybe I didn't unknowingly.
I feel like that's one of those things that will come up in play. Right? I'd be like, you did this again, just like that one time. You know?
Or is it supposed to be something that happened in the past?
It was definitely something that happened in the past, but we can have that come up and play in a reference.
Did you do something while using your powers that got Jungir in trouble because you were like, nobody saw you?
Yeah, or you embarrassed me.
Or you embarrassed me.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And so then, sorry, I'm trying to remember your name.
Naomi.
Tommy.
Tommy is me, yeah.
Tommy as my love.
Sweet.
So you revealed something? Is that the script?
Tommy is my love. I've opened up to you about the worst parts of my past.
Okay, so let's take this further. So I idolize you because of your confidence, but we had a moment in our character history where you revealed yourself, your vulnerabilities to me, and then we kind of fell for each other.
So
what's keeping us apart?
Keeping us apart?
Wait,
let's keep going.
let's go back. Is this Starcrossed?
I was about to say, should we just get a Jenga tower between Amar and myself? And
then, I would love that.
Can we do that?
Yeah,
we should.
Please. Just talk amongst yourselves. We'll just have this game. Yeah.
Okay, but my question is, what was it that you shared?
I think I opened up about how, even though sort of I am like, you know, I come off with this projected air of confidence in my role and in my heroism and stuff, I think I revealed to them that I'm actually just, you know, terrified of all of this.
What is the one incident that you shared about?
This is Bakugo.
I know.
We can come back to that.
Yeah. No, sorry. I think I've got one.
Ooh,
I just want to think about this. Worst parts of my past. You know what? No, give me a couple of minutes.
Cool. Okay.
I'm thinking I'm like cheating on a test or something, but I feel like there's something more I can have.
I still got to be the nerd in this moment.
Yeah, we can come back to you. Yeah. I'm gonna ask Naomi a question.
All right.
So, Jungir thinks of you as his rival.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Jungir?
Yeah, can I speak to what's in relationships on
Go for it. Why not?
So, here, you've got to prove yourself to Jungir, I think, before you feel like a real hero.
So you're kind of like the standard, or like this like stamp of approval that everyone wants.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I just think he's super cool.
Hashtag no pressure.
Hashtag no pressure.
And I just have a weenie power where I don't actually do anything.
Okay. So you probably didn't even realize that you like embarrassed
them.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Like you thought you're like, oh my gosh, they're like he's so cool. Yeah. I gotta like live up to whatever expectations of coolness.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah, all right. And do you have your story now? Jungir?
Yeah, that's kind of not coming to me right now.
Okay,
I feel like I want to share about some time, like that coming here. I really missed my family and my home that one time, and I cried.
Oh, that's a good one.
Damn. Aww. Yeah.
Damn, is that the moment
between you and I?
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just answering I've opened up to you about the worst part of my past. and it's this as I cried.
You cried and I was just there.
Out of homesickness.
This is,
yes.
This
and is, I was just there and I was just like watching you train, like copying your moves. And then I just saw you just like break down and then you turned and you saw me and I saw you. And then.
Pull a block, please.
Oh my gosh.
That's the audio clip right there. I'm going to.
This. Man, this right. game is so wholesome. I have never played or run in such a wholesome game of masks before.
I thought that's what we were doing.
You want to make this dark? I can. No. I love this. I love this.
No. All right. I guess as a dramatic manager, I'll do my best. TM Anderson. Okay.
But actually, I do want to. Well, we'll figure it out in play. But I do want to figure out why aren't we together? Because that's obviously the crucial question, right?
Especially for my family, my traditional family.
Well, I mean, you could just also not be attracted to me.
No, I think right? I want my like character to be attracted to you. I think.
Okay, cool.
I think that makes for a really good story, and I think it would be really cool. Like. Sure. But yeah, what's separating us? Is it you? Is it me?
Yeah.
Or is it this Jenga tower between us?
Okay. Before that, let's
go by Starcross by Alex Roberts.
Yeah. Oh man, such a good game. Okay, let's do the other relationship questions. So we had mm-hmm. let's hear one for Tommy.
Okay. So okay. So my two is blank knew you from your civilian life first. Or you refuse to tell blank your secret identity when they asked.
I think the answers are very obvious.
I think so. I refuse to tell Jahangir my secret identity when we asked when they asked me.
Mm-hmm.
That's obvious.
And Naomi knew you
from
your civilian life.
Man, it was so easy.
Yeah. And Naomi, what was your other question?
Blank is awesome. You take every chance you get to hang out with him. Tommy.
Aww.
He's been such a good friend. He's been so supportive of my dream to be a leaf. Mm-hmm. And I just really appreciate that, I think.
This is so
wholesome. Yeah, I don't know.
Can we? Oh my God.
I didn't write this question.
This is great.
Wow, we so cute.
And then Agatha's just going to tear it all down.
Oh, don't you worry.
Don't you dare. I'm really invested in this Jahangir Tommy thing.
I'm really invested in this.
Me too.
Oh, I guess I will have to play the evil teacher here to tear y'all apart.
Oh. We'll make it happen. Don't worry.
Freaking. Oh, they are touching fingers.
I love it.
This is great. Okay, so I think this is what we have for it. Are there any other relationship questions that I missed? I think we got them all covered. Sweet. So this marks the end of our episode zero, our Titanic episode zero.
I honestly think this is dope.
Mm. Yeah, this world is.
I'm so excited
about
this.
This world is thick.
This is awesome.
Punch them in the feels.
Yeah, punch him in the feels.
Oh, I'ma prep some stuff.
Yeah, I just want to see where this Jahangir and Tommy thing goes.
Because
like I saw him crying, and I'm just like, I was just there.
Yeah, you were.
And I dropped my notebook on the ground, and then the sound.
Are you serious, Deku?
and then like maybe Naomi doesn't know, but I'm conflicted because Naomi and I are such like. Good friends.
Yeah, you tight. And then like Jahangir has this like beef with Naomi.
Yeah,
he hates me.
Doesn't hate you. Like you don't hate.
We should just have like three Jenga towers here.
Dread. Between Jahangir.
Dread, star crossed, and then the whole thing. Agatha gets 10 candles.
Oh my gosh.
All right.
I like this.
Yeah. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Again, this is episode zero of the thus far unnamed actual play game of Masks.
Yeah. It's Masks, New Shambhala.
What? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe.
We'll see. We'll figure out. But yeah, this was amazing.
Yeah. This was really amazing. Great. Thank you, Agatha.
Yeah. Thank you, Agatha, for facilitating this.
Really
just another shout out to Magpie Games for A, providing us with these resources, and B, reaching out and showing your support of, you know, a podcast produced by people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I think these are really important for the community to have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, the listener, want to, you know, make your own mask characters, if you want to have this triangle between Naomi, Jahangir, and Tommy, head to magpiegames.com, grab yourself a copy of Masks, grab yourself a deck of Influence, and treat yourself. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
What's that coupon code? Pardon? What's that coupon code?
Yeah, treat yourself to 20% off using coupon code AZNSREPRESENT. And just thank you for listening. This has been a long episode. We will be releasing episode one shortly. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get some feedback from the community, see what they think, give Agatha some time to
percolate.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna somehow organize all of these notes and think about my character, and it's just gonna be great. And I think we're all super excited. And what I'm really happy about is that we're all on the same page here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We vibe in.
Yes.
And like, thank you, Amar, for joining the Asians Represent crew to record this with us.
Oh, shucks. Thanks for having me. You've all been really great.
Now, if you have any questions about, you know, Masks, Asians Represent, or the themes we discussed in this episode, get in touch with us. You can follow us on Twitter at AZNSRepresent. Photos from this actual play will be posted on our Instagram. Mm-hmm. So head to Instagram.com/AZNSRepresent. Jade is taking care of that Instagram.
Doing it.
And we're going to try to start posting notes on our Facebook, which Agatha manages.
Yep.
I'm the Twitter. Agatha's the Facebook. Jade is the Instagram.
Yep. I got some real messy notes.
Yeah. So character notes.
I'm managing the MySpace.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Managing the MySpace. You and Justin Timberlake. So look for,
the bar supply.
Episode recaps on our Facebook, facebook.com/AZNSRepresent. Look for photos at instagram.com/AZNSRepresent. And of course,
you can always email us.
You can email us at AZNSRepresent@oneshotpodcast.com. And everything else Asians Represent, you'll find on Twitter at AZNSRepresent. I'm Daniel.
I'm Agatha.
I'm Jade.
I'm Amar.
And you've just listened to Asians Represent.